Hello and welcome to the third episode of Blue Cup Tools, the podcast. I am Grundislav, a.k.a. Francisco Gonzalez.
Hello, and I am Ben Chandler, a.k.a. 304. How are you, Grundislav?
I am well. How are you?
I am also well. This is good. And today we're going to talk about remakes.
We are. We're also going to talk about E3 and games that were shown there, as well as reviews and the usual silly stuff that we always do in these podcasts.
I think we should maybe put a new segment in, actually.
Yes, I agree. We should put in a new segment.
And now, the news.
Thank you, Ben Chandler. Mock Puppet Games have just announced their new project, The Big Sheep, an old-school point-and-click adventure game with an offbeat mystery theme. Written by Davey Millay, it features low-res pixel graphics reminiscent of early 90s adventure games, and aims to be completed by the end of the year. Those wishing to pledge their support for the project can do so by visiting The Big Sheep's page on Indiegogo. In other news, Resonance, the long-term project of Vince 12 and his team of intrepid adventure creators and Wadgetai Games, is now complete. A demo is available for those interested and is available from Steam, GOG, and Wadgetai Games for $9.99. AGS forum members who have yet to participate in the Release Something activity have until the 30th of June to do so. Release Something is an annual activity where members showcase some of the projects they have been working on, and all entries related to game design are deemed valid. Finally, Infamous Quests have announced their first commercial project, Quest for Infamy. Known for their remakes of classic Sierra adventures, the team have now returned to the project that inspired them to create games in the first place, and have begun a Kickstarter campaign for the game. A demo is available, and the project has already achieved more than two-thirds of its funding goal. A positive sign indeed. That's the news. I'm Grundislav. So, our topic of discussion today is remakes.
Oh yeah! Remakes!
Remakes. I was browsing websites the other day looking at new game news, and I saw that they're doing a remake of Abe's Odyssey, and I'm like, I just thinking of how many remakes have been done lately, the amount of games being remade absolutely blows my mind. There are so many. Not there's HD remakes, you've got reimaginings of games like the Syndicate remake that was pretty much an absolute failure. There's so many different remakes going on. You know, we've got Leisure Suit Larry is being remade. There's so much different stuff. What do you think, Grundislav? You've done a remake or two.
I have done a couple of remakes, yes. But before I'm just curious, the Abe's Odyssey remake, is it an HD remake or is it a reimagining or what kind of a remake is it?
Well, apparently they were first going to do an HD remake, which is very common. I mean, the amount of HD remakes that have been done lately, you've got the Shadow of the Colossus and the Eco one, which you talked about last podcast. You've got the Sly Cooper. You've got all these different HD remakes being done. But apparently what they're going to do now is they're going to rebuild the game completely using the old game as a blueprint, but they are probably going to go and do things their own way, it seems. Which is, I think that's a little bit risky. Abe's Odyssey, I mean, it's a very tough game. Have you ever played it?
I have not, no.
It's a very tough game, but it's very well loved by the fans, you know. It's got a very distinctive style. At the time when it came out, there was nothing else like it, so it'll be interesting to see how well that goes down.
I don't know about remakes. Remakes are kind of a mixed bag, in my opinion, because on one hand, as far as the HD remakes and things like that, it's good that they can be brought to more modern systems so that they can reach a more modern audience, I guess. Because, for example, I mean, to take Monkey Island as an example, the HD remakes of Monkey Island, a lot of people liked them. A lot of people didn't think that they needed to be remade. The advantage that those had were that you could play the original games within the remakes. You could switch between classic and updated versions, which was
That's cool. such a nice idea.
Yeah, it was a very considerate idea. But,
yeah,
I mean, I like the idea of bringing them up to date so that people who might not have otherwise had a chance to play them can play them. Like, the PS3 ones, the lack of backwards compatibility with PS2 games, a lot of really good PS2 games, unless you still have your PS2 hardware, you can't play anymore, which is annoying. So,
you know, I actually bought a PS2 the other year. It was just for, you know, it was a few dollars just because there's so many PS2 games I missed out on.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a bunch of PS2 games that haven't been remade that probably should be remade. I'm looking at Psychonauts as an example. That would be great if that got an HD remake. I mean, you can still play PC, but I don't know.
Well, there's been some great games remade. You've played the Beyond Good and Evil HD remake.
I have, yes. Although I've never played Beyond Good and Evil on PS2. I played it on on PC first. So,
I've played it on PC and PS2. I love Beyond Good and Evil.
It is a good game. Holy, 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 holy. But yeah, I mean,
it is a great
remakes just for the sake of remaking them. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I think, like, I'm trying to think of some games that have been remade just for, that don't really need remakes, but I'm kind of drawing a blank right now.
It's hard. There's so many different types of remakes. You've got the complete reimaginings, like we talked about, the Syndicate one that they did, which EA itself admitted. I saw an interview the other day. They said, obviously, this hasn't worked, this reimagining, which is, I mean, they tried to turn a tactical game into a first-person shooter, which is a strange decision. And then you've got things like the Leisure Suit Larry remake that's being done, where it's being updated, you know, it's point-and-click interface now, and it's going to have the higher-res graphics. You've got things like Tomb Raider Anniversary, which is Tomb Raider 1, but completely remade with a new engine and new controls and everything like this. I never played Tomb Raider 1, but this year I played through Tomb Raider Anniversary, and I think it was a good idea remaking it.
Well, actually, now that you mentioned Tomb Raider, that's a perfect example. There's a remake or reboot or whatever of Tomb Raider that's coming out now that lots of people are... That's been the subject of some controversy recently, actually.
It has, you know, and it surprises me when people talk about, you know, it's a bit, the trailer's, you know, it's a bit brutal for everyone. If you go and look at what they did to Lara Croft in Tomb Raider Legend, she is a mass murdering psychopath in that game. It actually disappointed me because I started playing Tomb Raider Legend after having played Underworld, which was, it's the totally wrong order, but I had this idea where Underworld was very little about combat and a lot about exploration, and 11 seconds into playing Legend, and I actually timed this, 11 seconds into it, you have to shoot a guy, and you are given no story purpose to shoot him. It's just, there's a prompt that on the screen that says, press R1 to shoot. And I said, well, I don't really want to shoot this man. But yeah, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see. The remake seems quite different in tone to how Tomb Raider's always been. You know, you've got Lara Croft, who's quite confident, and she's now been rebooted. They've gone back and gone, well, she's now a scared 20-something-year-old. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Well, she might even be young. She might be a teenager now.
Yeah, I already went through my phase as a scared 20-something. I don't know that I necessarily want to play one in a video game.
Yeah, and I think some remakes, like, if you look at what they've done with the Nintendo Wii, you've got this brand new controller and you've got the ability to remake games that were done with the old way of control and completely remake them with a new way of controlling it. I've played Metroid Prime on the Wii, I've played Resident Evil 4. They've updated it to use the motion controller, and I think that works very well. I think that's a very sensible reason to do a remake.
Another actually series that is also an Eidos, or at least Tomb Raider was Eidos at one point, but I don't know who they are now. But
I think it's
is it
Square Enix Eidos, same thing.
Well, the Hitman series is another. I played Hitman. I didn't play the original Hitman. I played Hitman 2 and I played Hitman Blood Money, but from my understanding, Hitman Contracts, which is the third one, is kind of like basically an update remake of a lot of missions from the very first Hitman game.
It seems a fair reason for doing it, I guess.
Yeah, and also the new Hitman game that's coming out, Hitman Absolution, has apparently also been more or less considered a reboot because it doesn't really take place in the same quote-unquote universe as Hitman. I've read some interviews where they've made a lot of big changes that a lot of the fans are not very happy about. For example, the voice actor who's played the Hitman or Agent 47 in all the other games is not going to be voicing him in Hitman Absolution.
Oh, that's always tough to deal with.
Yeah, and also, and this might be a mild spoiler for anyone who hasn't heard anything and doesn't want to hear anything, so avert your ears. Diana, who is the lady who gives him all his missions, and they sort of meet for the first time at the end of Blood Money and kind of have a little moment. She apparently dies at the very beginning. You have to kill her right at the start. So that kind of shakes things up as well. So they're kind of going in a different direction, and I've heard that they're kind of focusing more on combat and gunfights and things like that as opposed to the typical like stealth and disguise gameplay. Although they still have it in there, they're kind of going for a wider audience appeal, which understandably has made a lot of fans of the series kind of upset.
I can imagine that would be like making a thief game where you can run up and punch people in the face. That's a very strange idea.
But remakes, in the sense of, I guess, in the indie scene, are a little bit different because it's more of an opportunity to go back and erase your mistakes, I guess. My remakes that I've
done... is that why you went and remade Ben Jordan 1 and 2?
Absolutely. I remade them because I realized that they were terrible and they needed to be upgraded and improved. So I went back and I replanned them and I made them what I thought they should be. And so that's that. A lot of people make games and they realize, okay, well, you know, it wasn't that great, but you don't often get the chance to be able to go back and fix things. And if you can do that, then, you know, it's nice to be able to do that because it gives you a second chance. It's kind of like a director's cut of a movie, I guess. And there are games that get released as director's cuts, which I guess could be considered remakes.
To an extent, I guess, yeah. But do you feel that it was worth the time you invested into doing it? Because you obviously put quite a bit of effort into doing them.
I do, yeah. Actually, Case 2 was one of my least favorite games in the series, and now the remake is one of the ones that I actually like a lot more.
I wonder, sometimes you look when a game series has strayed from its roots. They're doing an HD remake of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, and I think that's a game series that has strayed so far from what made fans love it in the first place. If you go back and play Tony Hawk 2, I was playing it the other day on PlayStation, and you compare it to the latest Tony Hawk skating games, there's no comparison whatsoever. So it interests me that it's almost like they're admitting that what they used to do was better, and so let's do that now with new graphics. It's kind of interesting to see a studio saying that and going, right, let's go back. Let's go back to when it worked and do that.
So, of all of your games, are there any that you would go back and remake if you could?
I've been asked that. People ask me if I want to remake Shifter's Box. That's quite a big one. If I redid it, I would change so much that people would probably end up hating what it turned out. I don't really have the urge to remake it because I'd worry that I'd ruin it. you change as a game designer. You know, what you think worked back then doesn't. It's not what you think is right back now. And I think if you changed too much of it, I know I read an interview with Chris Avellone and when he was talking about Planescape Torment, and I love Planescape Torment, and he said that he would do so much of it differently now because, you know, he's changed. And Planescape Torment, there's so much wrong with it, but if you can overlook all that, there's so much depth to the game. And I worry that if I did the same thing, if I went back and changed my games, I'd change what feels awkward to me but resonated with people that like the game, you know. So I think there's nothing really that I'd remake. If anything, I'd probably just try and take all the bad coding out of them. So are there any games other than Psychonauts that you would like to see remade? I know you'd like to see Psychonauts remade. What about anything else?
It's not so much that I'd like to see it remade. I'd just like to be able to play it on PlayStation 3 in high definition.
Oh,
because it's okay.
Well, that's fair enough.
Game, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't need any improvements or anything. I'd love for it to have trophies. That'd be something.
Yeah.
You know me.
I do know you and your love of trophies. But is there any games that you think are they? Because sometimes I go back. I played Dreamfall the other day, and I had this very clear memory of Dreamfall looking amazing. And I went and played it the other day, and I thought, this is a really average looking game.
Oh yeah, I remember, yeah, when Dreamfall came out, it was like the facial animations were amazing, and it was like, oh my god, look at these graphics, they're great. And now it's just kind of like, it looks like mannequins, sort of.
Yeah, oh, after seeing Heavy Rain come to life on your TV, and you go back and play Dreamfall, where it's the same. And I imagine in 5 years' time, we'll play Heavy Rain and go, wow, we used to think these were good graphics.
Well, actually, Heavy Rain now, after playing L.A. Noire, looks kind of mannequin-y to me.
Is that right? Obviously, I've not played L.A. Noire. I should get on and play that. That's hilarious.
But it's funny, too, because even L.A. Noire, like, I replayed it recently. I played it when it first came out, and I replayed it recently, and even now, like, less than a year or a little bit over a year later, you can kind of see the seams in the technology, and you're kind of like, okay, well, all right, this looked really cool when they were advertising it and when it first came out, but now that you've kind of had a chance to sort of settle in and get used to it, now it kind of looks a bit, you know, weird. But
I wonder if sometimes the low-res games age more gracefully. Simon the Sorcerer still looks fantastic to me.
Oh, yeah, the original one, yeah.
Even the second. I think they've probably aged more gracefully than, say, Grim Fandango. I played Grim Fandango a few months ago, and the character models are so blocky and pixely for 3D. It's a little off-putting, you know?
Yeah. But to answer your question, I think maybe the only PlayStation 2 games that I would maybe want to see remade in high definition would be, like, Vice City. Or maybe, yeah, pretty much Vice City.
That's fair, cool. I'd worry too much that they'd tamper with it and ruin all the things I loved about Vice City, though.
I don't know that they'd tamper with it. I think if they just upgraded the textures and whatever, and they didn't change any of the gameplay, it'd be fine. But what I really want to see, that's a discussion for another time, I'm sure, is them doing like a modern version, current-gen version of Vice City. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sensational. I love... Vice City is easily my favorite Grand Theft Auto game.
Absolutely mine, too, yes.
I think sometimes when you play a remake, it can be disappointing as well. I remember Chris Sawyer made a game in the 90s called Transport Tycoon, and he re-envisioned it after working on Roller Coaster Tycoon. He re-envisioned it as a game called Locomotion and released it about, I guess it was 10 or 8 years ago. Around that time, and it is basically the same game with slightly updated graphics and slightly adjusted mechanics, and he got absolutely panned for it. Transport Tycoon is a well loved game. People love it, and Locomotion's not that different, but because it tried to be slightly updated and it didn't do that well. The graphics are still, they still look like a 256 color game. It's not really that updated, and I think trying to remake a game in that sense 10 years later just didn't work. So sometimes a remake, just even if it's not a really big re-envisioning like Syndicate was, I think sometimes a remake can sort of fall on its feet. I think some people feel the same way about the Monkey Island remakes.
Yeah, to me, the best thing about the Monkey Island remix was hearing the music played by live instrumentation. We were talking about this.
Yeah.
As a person who, as I said, grew up listening to Monkey Island in MIDI with, like, just, you know, not PC speaker beeps and boops, but just MIDI. And memorizing and having those soundtracks in my head, hearing them performed with live instruments was just amazing to me. And I carry around the soundtrack on my iPhone, so I listen to it often when I'm...
Oh, that's lovely.
My daily routines, or... Well, daily routines, but I do listen to it every now and then.
And as you said, I think it's great that people of a younger generation who never really had a chance to play Monkey Island or can't get into them, because I can understand why someone wouldn't be able to get into low-res games if they haven't grown up with it. I can totally understand that. It's like trying to watch a silent movie if you're used to Star Wars and Indiana Jones and all the action and emotion.
Right,
it's
or
just
even
not going
like
to be the same thing.
Trying to play a text adventure or something now, if you
text adventures are hard to get into.
Yeah,
I like Sid Meier's Pirates, the remake that they did in.
Oh yeah, there's a good.
I think it was 2004.
Yeah,
yeah. It's I would never be able to get into the old version of that. I'm sure. Just looking at the graphics, I like low res graphics, but just looking at it, it's not for me, but playing the remake is great. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I played that for the first time on Sega Genesis, amusingly enough. And it was fun. But then I've seen it on PC, and it was just really, really blocky and low res, and, you know, it was still fun, but it just wasn't the same. And then, you know, being able to play it in 3D with, like, the actual noises, and it was a lot more immersive.
It's very immersive. When you've got your little boat that's clipping along the water and you're catching the wind, it's very fun. It's very evocative of being a sailor.
I have to say, though, the one thing that they added in the remake that I think it could have done without was that dancing minigame.
Man, I didn't mind the dancing if it was less constant. But man, it was just too much. It was too much dancing. I like governor's daughters as much as the next guy, but I don't want to dance with them all day.
Yeah, man, I'm a pirate. I want to go out and loot and pillage and plunder. I don't want to dance. I'm a man.
Well, get in touch with your sensitive side. I understand the dancing was overdone.
R is backwards.
It really is. I'm glad you've mentioned that. That's an important fact for all our listeners.
So yeah, that's Remix. I think we can move on now to our next topic of discussion, which is E3. But first, Ben Chandler will talk to us about the pick of the month.
All right, the pick of the month this month, which is June 2012, is Shifter. It's a escape the room type adventure, first person, and I believe it's this person's first ever game. It's very, very, like, the graphics are very pretty. I found it quite fun to play. And it's got this creative little twist where not only is there a day-night cycle where the world changes where, like, what people are doing and where they're seated, but also it's got this, you have the ability to take on the form of others. And so you have to sort of, the puzzles are worked in very naturally through that. It's very interesting to play it, and I found it a very clever twist on the normal, you know, it's normally inventory puzzles, but I found this was a much more fun way of playing an Escape the Room game. So, yeah, Shifter, pick of the month, June 2012.
Yeah, the Electronic Entertainment Expo!
So, E3
How
was
do you feel?
Recently. was recent.
It's been a really quiet year for games. I remember, especially the last quarter of last year, games were crazy. I have never pre-ordered games like I did last year. I look at the stuff I pre-ordered. I pre-ordered Deus Ex Human Revolution, Rayman Origins, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, The Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim. That's big games, man. I remember you were buying games by the bucket load last year.
I was. I calculated that I spent about $600 and something on games last year. We're in June right now. By this time last year, I had already purchased about 3 AAA titles. I had already gotten Portal 2, I'd gotten Infamous 2, and I'd gotten L.A. Noire. And there were still a lot more to come in the year. But I have not bought a new game for my PlayStation in 6 months. And that's pretty amazing to me.
So far, the only one that I've bought new this year was Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, because that's the only one that's interested me at all. And I mean, that was a huge game. It took me 80 hours to finish, but one game for half a year is, that's pretty pathetic.
Although, to be fair, I still haven't touched Saints Row the Third, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, E3, they showed a lot of really interesting stuff. It seems like 2013, because unfortunately most of the games that they showed at E3 are not going to come out this year, but it seems like 2013 is going to be the new 2010, or actually, no, we were in 2012. It's going to be the new 2011 as far as AAA time and money.
How does Watch Dogs look?
Oh man, yeah. Watch Dogs was amazing. Although, reading up more on it later, it seemed like a lot of people were thinking that there was a lot of really interesting concepts in it, but it didn't really show much about what the game actually was, which I can understand. I mean, the mission that they showed was, you know, just your standard go in, get a guy, you know, kill him sort of thing. But just the way that they showed you could do things was really cool and really different and really just nice. But yeah, as far as what the whole game will be, you know, whether you're like a hacker who's actually, I don't know, going on these missions and who are you working for and whatever, it remains to be seen. But it's very much on my highly anticipated games list.
Yeah, it interests me, the concepts that they've worked in, you know, that it's some of the stuff that they've worked with is smart stuff.
Yeah, especially just the fact that it tunes into how we're so dependent on our cell phones and stuff nowadays. The fact that
everything is digital. Yeah,
the fact that you can like create chaos by, you know, shutting off everybody's cell phone signal is amusing, and also it's an interesting social commentary, I suppose.
I think it's the world is ripe for a game like this. It's the cyberpunk of the 80s, all the stuff that they envisioned, all the Big Brother and everything like that, can finally really hit home with how... I mean, you look at how all of our devices talk to each other and everything like that. I'll be reading a book at work on the Kindle app on my phone, and I get home and it's transferred what page I'm up to on my Kindle Fire. You know, everything talks to each other.
Imagine
if you could... I mean, who says you could... Cars could... all got computers in the engines. You could turn cars off. There's so much you could do. You know, the stoplights and everything like that.
You could update your Facebook status and your car could start running. Just be like, I'm going to the market now, and your car will already be started up and running and already programmed into the GPS how to get to the supermarket just from that one Facebook post, which is frightening.
So I think Watch Dogs is a very clever idea. It's impressive that it managed to stay so well hidden until E3, when there was no real other surprise in the show. I mean, Rayman Legends was slightly surprising, but not really that. I mean, somebody had leaked that, so I'd heard about it. But yeah, is there anything... What else other than Watch Dogs are you interested in? I'm definitely interested in Rayman Legends, but I think you need to purchase a Wii U to get one. I loved Rayman Origins.
Yeah.
Anything you're excited about?
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited about Assassin's Creed 3, which looks pretty cool. It looks like it's a little bit of the more of the same, but the new engine and the setting and everything, I think, will more than make up for that. And the ship combat, of course, which a lot of people were surprised
ship
about. But yeah, I can sneakily say that I knew about it for a while, but I won't say.
Yeah. Some insider info there.
I had some secret insider info about that, yes. But,
Have you seen Dishonored?
Yes, I'm interested in Dishonored, but I'm not sure how interested in Dishonored I am. It looks intriguing, but I'm going to wait a while to see, because I was interested also in Lollipop Chainsaw, but I've heard that it's, you know... So I'm going to kind of wait until there's a price drop on that if I check it out. And I'm not sure about Dishonored. I might feel the same way. I'm going to wait and see until it comes out and see what the general press has to say.
I want to think that Dishonored is like Thief 3, but more approachable and easier to pick up. So I hope it's something along those lines. Because Thief 3 was nice, but I think Dishonored might be a little more approachable in terms of direction. So I'm looking forward to that. There's actually something I'm looking forward to that, and I think that's scheduled for release in a few months. So, yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Well, are you going to get the new Tomb Raider game? Do you think, Grunderslav? How do you feel about Tomb Raider?
I haven't played a Tomb Raider game since Tomb Raider 2, so no, I don't think I'm going to get it. I'm not really interested in that franchise.
Okay, I think I'll get it. I think it looked interesting. It's more interesting to me than, you know, all the Mass Effects and Assassin's Creed and everything like that. So, yeah, I'll probably get Tomb Raider just to see what they've done with it, I guess. Yeah. Plus, I like Tomb Raider games. I love adventuring through, you know, ancient temples and things, so...
I'm also looking forward to The Last of Us. I like how they emphasize the fact that you can not kill people unless you absolutely have to, which is a departure from Naughty Dog, because as we all know, Nathan Drake is he's like Lara Croft. He's a mass murderer. So,
oh yeah, every time you see an explosive barrel, that's what you aim for in Uncharted.
Absolutely. Uncharted, I think if someone did a count of how many people he shot, I mean, there's a trophy alone for like 100 headshots in every Uncharted game, so you have to figure he's killed at least 300 people with headshots alone, let alone all the other people.
I got that trophy.
Yeah, I've gotten that trophy 3 times in each Uncharted game.
Every trophy.
So, well, no, I have to go back and play Uncharted 3 again to get more trophies, but yeah, he killed everybody. So, you know, being able to go through the game and, like, not kill people unless you absolutely have to is pretty cool. Which is another feature that the Dishonored mentions, which interests me as well. But, like I said, wait and see.
The multiple methods of solving a level is something that really appeals to me. I'm a huge Deus Ex fan. I love the fact that you can either, you know, pick a lock, or you can run in the front entrance with your guns blazing, or you can upgrade your jumping so that you can jump on the roof, then sneak in the skylight. I love that sort of gameplay. It really appeals to me. So yeah, that's something I'm interested in.
That's what I like a lot about Hitman, that you could do that too. You know, you had multiple ways of being able to assassinate your target.
It's very satisfying to find new ways to do something. I remember finishing the first level of Deus Ex. You can actually finish it without using a single weapon. And considering how first-person shooters were at the time, that was really inspiring to me. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. How do you feel about Beyond Two Souls?
Ah, that was what I was going to mention. You read my mind.
Ah,
you mean David Cage's Blackwell?
Yeah, the Blackwell Two Souls game.
The Blackwell Cage game?
Yeah.
Perhaps Heavy Rosa or something? No, never mind. Well, I would be lying if I said I wasn't interested in it. But
I'm interested.
I'm a little wary in David Cage's track record, to be quite honest with you. I liked Heavy Rain. Okay, I liked Fahrenheit. I liked Heavy Rain better than Fahrenheit. So maybe I'll like Beyond Two Souls better than Heavy Rain, but I don't know.
He's not good at endings. Let's face it, he's not good at endings. They're not his strong point.
No, endings are his strong
point. I feel the end of Heavy Rain is one of the worst game endings I can think of. It is such a pathetic twist in the story to throw so much of it away. So I really hope he... First of all, it seems... I really liked Omicron, The Nomad Soul. Quantic Dream's first game was so unique and quirky, and I thought that was fantastic. And there were still elements of that in Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, which I really liked. And I was a little sad that they took that out for Heavy Rain. So I have to confess, I loved the crazy bits in Fahrenheit. I absolutely loved that because it reminded me of Omicron the Nomad Soul. Although in Omicron everything's weird, so it all just blends together. But he's got stuck in this rut where he's trying to make interactive movies. This is what he seems to be doing. There was no gameplay at all in the trailer.
Oh no, absolutely there wasn't. No.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's Heavy Rain with a different story and the same gameplay mechanics. I got frustrated playing Heavy Rain. The QuickTime events frustrated me more than they did in Fahrenheit.
Really? I I didn't find them as frustrating because Fahrenheit's QuickTime events were limited to basically either tapping the left and right triggers a lot to keep that thing in the center, the little needle in the center,
yeah,
or just like other weird things.
The Simon games.
Simon games. Oh, how I hated those Simon games. I thought that the QuickTime
events in Heavy Rain.
No, I thought the QuickTime events in Heavy Rain were a little bit more, not fluid.
They're probably more organic.
Yeah, organic. That's the word I'm looking for. Because, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was silly, but it wasn't as silly. Like, okay, I can understand pressing X to Jason, or you know, that sort of thing. But yeah. But see, I disagree with you as far as the story bits go. I absolutely thought that the silly bits in Fahrenheit were ridiculous. And while I agree with you that, you know, it was a bit silly to kind of throw away a lot of the story in Heavy Rain, I thought at least it was, because it was more grounded in reality and it didn't go for that crazy sci-fi thing, I guess I was a little bit more forgiving of the silliness of it, and so I went with that.
I've completely accepted the fact that I'm the only person that likes that part of Fahrenheit. I'm fine with that. I don't care that everyone else hates it. That doesn't bother me at all. I have a lot easier time accepting the fact that you've introduced new elements in the story, like he did in Fahrenheit, than what he did with Heavy Rain, where he's put all of this set up only to completely ignore it at the end of the game and just, well, all of that didn't matter. This is what happened.
Right.
Don't worry about the last 8 hours that you've just played through because that means nothing. I think he hints at the ending once in the entire game, which is pretty sad.
He actually does. Actually, he spoils the ending at the very first time that you play as Scott Shelby.
Yeah, he does.
One dialogue option that you can choose that completely, you know, spoils the whole end of the game if you know more or less what the end of the game is, and if you go back and play it again,
it gives it away.
Yeah, it's a complete and total giveaway. But yeah, I don't know whether that's oversight or if that's just him being like, "Oh, look, you are playing again. Now you will know from the beginning." Ha ha ha.
That's a lovely impersonation of David Cage.
Thank you.
So I know there are people that hate the way that Fahrenheit plays and the way that Heavy Rain plays. There are people that hate that. There are people that like that. I'll be happy. I won't mind if they play the same way as Heavy Rain plays. Beyond Two Souls plays the same way as Heavy Rain plays, as long as he doesn't do the same thing that he did. I just hope he can come up with a story that is cohesive the whole time this time, because that would be a nice change.
It would be a nice change, but I have my doubts. I mean, you play as this girl throughout 15 years of her life, and then you also play as this ghost spirit thing that can possess people and do things. So I don't know how we're going to do that 15 years. It'll be interesting to see.
He has a thing about showing characters' childhoods. He did it in Fahrenheit, where you have to play as a military base. He did it in Heavy Rain, where you've got the storm scene. He likes showing people's childhood, so...
He does.
I suppose everyone's got it.
I guess. Maybe, yeah. Well, let's not psychoanalyze David Cage. But I know is that I hope he hires more American actors, more American voice actors, especially
the French accents were lovely.
they ripped me right out of the immersion. I mean, you know, when the little kids are like, "Ah, well, I bet you can't catch me!" It was just, no, I couldn't deal with it. But I do have to say I was amused at the fact that in the trailer, the graphics have improved a whole lot. You can totally tell that it's Ellen Page, and the actor that's the cop in the trailer is the same actor that played Paco Mendez in Heavy Rain. So all I could do was just imagine him saying, "Oh, you fucking bitch!"
I have to say, I'm looking at stuff like Watch Dogs, and I'm looking at stuff like Beyond, and I'm going, is my PlayStation 3 going to be able to do these graphics?
Yeah, that's... I don't know. They've been talking about how, like, they don't know if Watch Dogs is actually going to be a current-gen game. I mean, I know they've already said that Beyond Good and Evil 2 is not going to be a current gen game. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what's happening there.
We are kind of coming to the end of a cycle. I mean, you've got both the handhelds. The PSP and the DS are now no more. Both of those have been replaced. The Wii U is coming out at the end of the year. We're sort of at the end of the cycle.
Yeah. But I would assume if Beyond is a PlayStation 3 exclusive, it's being developed on PlayStation 3 hardware, so I would think that it's going to be a PlayStation 3 game. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
No. The only game so far that I'm excited about for the next gen, because it's for Wii U, is Rayman Legends. And that's only because I loved Rayman Origins so much. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
It will be. Well, that, I think, is a good point to move on to something else.
Let's move on.
Let us.
Yay! It's time for some game reviews!
Alright, I'm going to review Botanicula. It's one of the very few games that I've bought this year. It's by Amanita Design. A lot of people will know these guys from Machinarium, did you ever play Machinarium? I can't remember.
No, I didn't. I haven't played any Amanita Design games.
Okay, I thought Samorost was pretty, but it started out quite weak. I never really got into it. Machinarium was nice, but I think Botanicula is easily their best game. I have this problem with Machinarium where the puzzles didn't always feel like they were that well integrated with the game. In Botanicula, it is completely opposite. It's a very organic game in a lot of ways. When you look at the graphics, I originally didn't think that it was as pretty as Machinarium would be. So I wasn't expecting that much from the graphics. When you compare the screenshots, it doesn't look that good. But when you see it in motion, it is just phenomenal. They've drawn it organically. It's organic is the best way to describe the game. The puzzles really feel like part of the world. The music is just... The whole world is filled with this music. Everything makes noises and hums and buzzes and clicks. It's a very happy game. There's a lot of colour. And then when the dark bits come, they're contrasted so well by the happiness that they seem all that much darker. I played through it in a few hours. You know, usually when I play a puzzle game like this, I get stuck and I get frustrated at getting stuck. But I stuck with all these puzzles. I solved them. In Machinarium, they had an inbuilt hint system, which I needed to refer to at a couple of points. In Botanicula, they didn't have it, and I thought, that's a bit of a strange move, because I thought it was good that they included that in Machinarium, but I absolutely didn't need it. I was quite happy to solve my way through the puzzles. It's sort of still an indie game, but it's one of the only adventure games this year that's not an indie game that has interested me, and yeah, I'm really glad I picked it up. If you can handle a bit of surreal design, I really recommend it. I had such a great time playing it. It says a lot about a game when every couple of minutes it did something else to make me laugh and smile without being a comedy game.
I am now going to review one of the few video games that I've purchased this year, and that is Journey for the PlayStation 3. Journey is what is best described as an art game. It is made by That Game Company, the same company that made Flow and Flower, which I have not played, but you have played Flower, Ben.
I've played Flower, and I've also played Cloud, which I think was their first game back when they were just starting off. And I think they were both nice, but they both felt a little unfocused. Flower was very pretty and very pointless, I think. Not pointless, but it didn't make its point as well as it could have done.
So Journey, by now, I'm sure most people have played it. If they haven't, I recommend you play it. It's a very nice little artsy game in which you control this robed figure in the desert, and you go on, of course, a journey. And it's really more about the experience of the journey than anything else. Hence, I guess, the title and the whole artsiness of the game. So I'll talk a little bit more about it right now. And I'd like to apologize in advance for the stupidity of this review. So, in Journey, you play as a robed figure who has to journey to a mountain. A mystery mountain, you might call it. And, you know, it's very much a very nice diversion, something that you could play on a Saturday night. Now, there's several things you can do in Journey. You walk around, you know, you pick up scarves, your little scarf goes increasing. But what's interesting is that it has a multiplayer component, and the multiplayer component, you have another person that's playing with you, but you don't know who it is until the end of the game. It tells you what their username is. And they basically can only communicate with you by making noises, and you have no idea of knowing what it means. So you can either play the game alone, or you can play the game multiplayer. Really, any way you want it. So as you go along with your companion, who will probably welcome you with open arms, you can either go with your partner, or they can choose at any time to, you know, go their separate ways, and you'll be worlds apart. So if you play the game, you know, faithfully, and you finish it, and you you finish it, and you get to the end, then you are rewarded with the end of the journey, and it's very nice and artsy. So I would recommend that you be good to yourself and pick up Journey and play it. And I hate you so much for this suggestion, Ben Chandler. But there it is. So, to be honest, I liked Journey. I thought it was very pretty.
That's good.
But it was a little pricey for content. It's $15 on the PlayStation Store, and I think you can easily finish Journey in 2 hours, and I think it's a little bit... There's not really much content to justify the $15 price tag. If it had been, I don't know, maybe like $10 or even like $7.99 or something, I think it would have been a little bit more worth it in price.
I think every now and then a game comes along. If you look at Lost Winds on Wii, it's a short game, it's only a few hours long, and it's quite pricey, but it's just worth playing just because it's just not like nothing else.
Yeah. Journey's kind of like that, I guess. It's definitely a game that should be experienced. If you have a PlayStation 3, then, and you know, you don't mind spending $15 on a game, it's a very nice little game that you can play. And actually, I don't think you can play it co-op locally. I think it has to be online. So, well.
Okay. I read the other day that they've made enough money from it that they're going to be able to do it for other platforms as well. So, that's good.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Pick it up.
Well, slap my behind and call me Sally. It's time for deliverance. Damn it, Cletus, you know what really gets my goat?
You tell me now, boy.
It's when I start writing a game, and I'm designing my game, and I love my game, I'm all excited about it, and I start making my game, and halfway through the process, I get an even better idea that I'm more excited about, and I can't wait to work on it, but shoot, Kong, Sarnin, I'm already working on my other game. I can't do two things at once, but I want to.
Well, shoot, I'll be buggered. I have the same problem. You know, I get this one idea, I go, gee whiz, this is such a great idea, and I start working on it, and then, well, I'll be. Another one comes along and takes its place. I'm like, oh, no, I got two things to do at once. It's like trying to drink moonshine while riding a pig, and none of us do that.
That's right!
Right, so that does it for this week's podcast. If you have any feedback or any suggestions for any segments you'd like to hear us do, please let us know. You can reach us at Twitter. I'm at Grundislav Games.
And I'm at Ben304. And I have to say, we have now podcasted thrice, and we've invented a new strange and silly segment each time. So hopefully we'll have another one next week.
Yes, we will. So until next time, Ben Chandler.
Farewell.